You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries.
Well, everyone, welcome to the Guidepost.
This podcast I promise is you, presented y'all by are Costa Sunglasses.
Never heard anything like this one in the 200-plus episodes that we have done. Grab your steering wheel with two hands. Get comfortable in your office or your den or wherever you're listening to. I don't even know what to say.
Look out your window. Tell me if you see any unicorns and fairies. Look at your weather app and see if hell has frozen over. See if hell is in the negative degrees. We are a little bit speechless because in the first, probably one of the few, if not the most profound meeting that we've heard since the foundation of this association, or at least my involvement in it, I'm not sure we've ever heard a fisheries management meeting play out how it did this morning, Tony. I mean, just, we'll get to it. I don't know, do you want to hit just real quick what Senate Bill 961 was for everyone? This took place in South Carolina, for anyone who hasn't seen us talking about it. It was a Senate bill for redfish management that came out of the state DNR. So this is not happening at a coastline level. This is not at the commission. This is a state level. And there were changes to slot limit, bag limit, some gear changes, gear recommendations, and then also a general change in perspective of how the fishery is viewed. Tony, if you cue it up really quick, you want to just read off exactly what 961 was, and then we're going to talk about what the hell happened today.
Yeah, so, okay. We all know that South Atlantic redfish are overfished, overfishing is occurring. We all know that Georgia and Florida, instead of addressing the situation, voted to lower the bar from a 40% SPR to a 30, and for y'all that, you know, don't follow redfish like you do striped bass, SPR is just the amount of little fish that recruit from the marshes and become big fish that can spawn. It has been at 40% for over two decades. So 40% of a virgin stock makes it to adulthood. And rather than address the situation, Florida and Georgia voted to have 30% now be the standard, which was the threshold. So, you know, managed to the threshold, not the target. And South Carolina voted against that, wanted to keep it at 40. So you can always be more conservation minded, right? So this is basically bizarro world conservation equivalency. So if you're familiar with that with striped bass, we know that they used conservation equivalency to get around the system. And South Carolina basically just said, we don't agree with that vote. We're going to be more conservation-minded. We're going to keep our stuff at 40% SPR. So we were dumbfounded when they said that. So then they came out with a legislative package, and we worked closely with DNR in South Carolina. We had seen the proposed legislation, and they asked us just to keep our powder dry until there was a hearing date. That happened last week. We appreciate everyone who signed our letter. We appreciated all the brands that signed it. Cody can go through them, all South Carolina brands. And the changes that South Carolina had on the docket were profound, to say the least. South Carolina had a two-fish limit, 15 to 23-inch slot, and this proposal shifts it to a one-fish limit and a two-fish boat limit. So if you got six people on your boat, you only catch two redfish. They move the slot up to 18 to 25. So that tightens the slot by 1 inch, and it also avoids those little fish that are just dumb as a rock. 15, 16-inch redfish, you just beat on them all day and all night in the back of creeks. So it takes that focus off of them. And then the other thing is a mandatory circle hook when fishing with bait, with any hook over 4-aught. So, you know, again, addressing the release mortality of the breeder size redfish. So in any event, you know, the procedure in South Carolina is it goes to the South Carolina Senate Fish, Game, and Forestry Committee. That is where it has to pass through the committee. Then it goes to the full Senate. Then it goes to the House. Then it goes to the governor. So did I catch everyone up?
For those who are up to speed, the brands, the guides who took the day off, and you know, this is a fun time of year for them to fish. You know, with one of the things worth noting when guides are showing up for public comment at everything from clean water to management, from Louisiana to Maine, Tony, is like, it's been a really tough weather last 12 to 18 months for guides. Really tough. So anyone taking a day off, it's more significant. You know, when someone's booked 28 out of 30 days a month and they say, yeah, I'll run 27 this month, you know, maybe that's a little, the one less reel they're going to buy this year, this month or something like that. But when the weather's been so bad, these guys taking a day, making the trek up to places that are not always convenient, depending on where their business is and their homes are located. Huge shout out to all of them. Everyone showed up, and how today played out, Tony, was almost like a simulation. I'm going to use our little text thread from the meeting just as some reference points, because what's how the conversation started and then immediately the path it went down, we've never seen before. I mean, you have a state representative, Ben Dyer, correct, who gives a presentation explaining what's going on, the impetus of this movement. You have legislators asking questions that immediately are thoughtful. They're showing no malice or no self-intent or no backdoor, you know, deals influencing. They're asking real thoughtful questions. Hey, could you explain this really quickly? Hey, can you make sure that I understand this better? Da 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 da. You're hearing verbiage that's actually science-based. Could you explain this again really quickly, what this SPR means, what these spawning timelines look like? And you're going, holy shit, are they actually just hearing the state representative or, you know, the state staff and considering what he's saying thoughtfully? Then you have the public comments. Everyone hops in and does a great job explaining why they're there, what it means to the business, giving great perspectives, all the talk points, touch points that we normally try to hit around economy, around business, et cetera. And then It plays out in a way that I've literally never seen in my young professional life. And then it goes to a unanimous vote and it passes on. I mean, let's name drop like a couple of the talking points that we are proud of. We have the full a link to the full hearing. We'll put that in our blog. So if people are driving, they don't want to listen to us yap and our commentary, they want to hear exactly what happened. I highly recommend, especially if you're a South Carolina resident, listen in and see what your representatives, how they acted, because you might be thoroughly impressed. I mean, the statement that stuck with me, Tony, it almost felt like the ASGA ethos was like printed out. Our website was printed out and handed to everyone as like pre-meeting notes with some of the stuff we heard. But what stuck with me the most was, and I'm going to blank, I should have had the senator's name to give him kudos, basically asked, hey, you know, is this effort going to play out? Will we see the reward right away, or is this a long-term timeline? And Mr. Dyer said, you know, we're not at the bottom of the barrel now, but we don't want to get there. There are still redfish out there to catch, but we want to head this thing off right now. And that senator said, okay, so we're raising the red flag now so we don't get to rock bottom. And that's all a 99% rough paraphrase. I mean, what incredible foresight. Proactive. I mean, we heard the words proactive management thrown out multiple times. Proactive versus reactive.
In public comment.
Everyone who listens to this one knows I am relentless when it comes to holding other organizations and associations to a high bar. We saw other associations, ones that in other states we often highly disagree with, making statements that were everything that I want to hear when it comes to fisheries management. I was impressed with everyone. Top to bottom. I don't know if anyone can hear my German Shepherd clacking around while I'm talking. If so, we'll have to edit that out. But incredible. From top to bottom, Tony. I'm speechless and I don't have a lot to say. And anyone who's listened to this podcast knows that it's hard for me and you to be left speechless.
Yeah, well, you know, look, I sent a message to I wanna point some people out. So first of all, you know, South Carolina DNR you know, my opening intro, they're holding the line. We've always said that they're a good state agency, you know, very robust, you know, decently well-funded, and people who generally care. Most of the time when you deal with a state that has to pass regulations through the legislature, it is a cluster. So, you know, we were happy with South Carolina DNR, but tentative as to how it was going to go in the legislature. And I'd just like to point a couple things out. Like Matt Perkinson from South Carolina DNR is the recreational fisherman's coordinator, and they did surveys, they did outreach, they had focus groups, and it was just a Herculean effort for the information that they were to accumulate to really represent what anglers want out of the redfish fishery in South Carolina. And then the other person that I'd like to point out is Senator Chip Campson, who is the chairperson of the relevant committee. And he made a couple of comments that left me utterly speechless. Like I may text Sue when this podcast is over and say, move us to South Carolina, because if we are, you know, get sick of getting our ass kicked in some of these other states, like, this was the easiest thing I think that we have ever done. So Senator Campson started out and he started, you know, talking about his experience. You could tell the guy is an avid fisherman. And he said that he didn't allow his boys to fish for, in South Carolina, the vernacular is spot tails. I mean, you know, you stripers, bass, whatever you call them, redfish, red drum, their regional colloquialism for redfish is spot tails. And he mentioned that he didn't let his boys fish for spot tails off his dock because they have sight fidelity. And let's break that one simple sentence apart. And the boys could have wiped them out in short order. And he wanted them around. So let's break this out.
Sight fidelity, Tony.
He mentioned mortality too. And I was just like, now look, I'm just going to say it. I just remember us. It's hard for me not to remember us sitting at the Louisiana legislature and explaining to them how the fishery's not going to be the same a couple of years ago. And they literally looked at us like we had three eyes and basically didn't understand what we were saying. They had no knowledge of the science. And their idea was, well, if you can't kill them, what are they worth?
God's done given us these creatures to harvest them. And if you can't kill 42 per person tomorrow, they're going to go to Mississippi and Alabama to fish.
Right. And Senator Campson said that he doesn't know anyone who keeps a spot tail anymore, and that there's other fish like flounder and sheep's head and trout that are readily available. And I'll tell you what, like, the other thing that I would give. So first of all, like, Senator Campson, I'm going to check the legal issues in South Carolina, but you may be getting an FTT thank you bouquet from us.
Tony's actually got your name tattooed across his chest now. And with wings.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too basic here, but if there's somebody you'd like us to beat up, just send us a text through Signal Chat or something.
I don't want to overreact, but like, what are the requirements for Mount Rushmore? Like building a new one?
Yeah, like the Mount Rushmore of fishery. So you basically have a chairman of a committee who, you know, based on his comments, was a member of the House in South Carolina and, you know, graduated, was elected to the Senate. And you have a guy who clearly loves to fish, clearly loves his kids, and clearly understands the issue. And then furthermore, all of the other members of the committee had incredibly good questions. That's number one. And you could tell they weren't, it's not like one of their staff members wrote the question as a gotcha question. They actually listened to Ben Dyer from South Carolina DNR, absorbed what he was saying, and asked a relevant question. All of them did. And they were trying to understand the issue. A couple of them said, you know, I I don't understand this. Could you help me understand it? And it's like,
I think that's worth noting there, Tony. It's is so like wild. We've heard questions from representatives, but they're normally like this. Like, now tell me, if I do this, would that mean that many people could not keep their catch and their businesses would go underwater and hell would return to Earth tomorrow? It's a very targeted question. It's, now tell me, by doing this, would you be putting millions of good, honest, hardworking people out of business the very next day? You know, very targeted questions with the intent to spark. These conversations were like, can you actually explain to me, like, if we do this now, when we could see the reward, roughly how many years from now? That was like an honest question. Like, I just want to understand what I'm voting on. It almost felt like there were humans in the room. That there were humans, Cody, communicating how many times, with humans.
How many times have we loaded the public hearing with our guides, you know, other business owners, recreational anglers, and they're just, you know, texting on their phone, doom scrolling, whatever, not paying attention to our people. Every time a guide got up there, they were zeroed in. They listened to what they were saying. And they asked good questions. They had follow-up questions, you know, that described how the fishery has declined over the years. They could tell that these guys love the fishery, love South Carolina.
They showed respect. Remember, one of the senators said, this gentleman's actually, you know, from my neck of the woods. I know his family. I see on Instagram all the time all the amazing, you know, memories he's out there making with people. And I can put my stamp of approval. Like, this is a legitimate and authentic man whose business matters. Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Where has that ever
been a thing? I mean, I was going through my photos yesterday, Tony, and one of the things that popped up was someone had texted me a video, and, like, you know how iPhones, like, saves the ones you're texted. Oh, you don't know this because you have a brick, but it saves the ones that you're texted into your photos if you have that sent. And so I hadn't seen this video, and it was when I started one of my public comments about clean water and free speech down here in that last fight in Tallahassee, and someone recorded one of the people when I said, all right, do I have everyone's attention? And one of the ladies rolled her eyes and looked away. Like it was somehow insulting that I might hope that the public officials who are supposed to be hearing my testimony are paying attention. It's hard not to laugh.
Cody,
at
do you
the
remember?
You get.
Do you remember when it was like me, you, and Blaine up there in Louisiana, and the chairman at that time, not the current chairman, but the chairman of that committee, rolled his eyes at me.
Yes,
and I was just like, you know what? Let me tell you something, man. We footed the bill for a plane, hotel, food. Like, we invested in this. We're taking time away from other issues. You know, you roll your eyes with me, I'll poke them out, you little. And I mean,
that's a metaphor. Also, that's a metaphor. Before
yeah,
our lawyer
yeah, it's
finds
just a
out
metaphor.
These and are like, all metaphors.
And let me tell you something. Like, it's brutal when, if y'all haven't done this, you know, at a state house, it is brutal. When you sit there and you look at someone's eyes and you know they are dumb as a stump, and you are trying in 3 minutes to educate them, tell them why this is important, tell them why it's the most economically beneficial thing. I don't know where South Carolina got members on this committee, but they are not them. These people gave me the impression that they genuinely care. They genuinely represent their constituents. They have an advanced knowledge of fisheries. Certainly, I mean, they're Einstein compared to other state legislators, but just even for our circles, they had an advanced knowledge of fisheries, and they understood the economic impacts of these decisions and why this is not only a heritage to South Carolina, but it is an economic driver during uncertain times. And the fact that laced throughout the whole thing, and listen, man, this isn't a moratorium. You can still take a redfish home. But laced throughout the whole thing was the value of fish in the water and the value of guys going out and taking tourists and clients for the experience of going through those grass beds, looking for a tail, sight casting to them, getting them to eat, bringing them in, and letting them go. And is that so hard to understand? And these people get it. Like,
they even brought up, Tony, they brought up the dynamic of that specific fish within the context of the other fisheries. Like they said, like, oh, well, redfish, you know, have this value, and there's other fish that we can eat. You know, like, there's still stuff people can harvest. That's one of the things we try to push in some of these other conversations that people refuse to hear. Refuse. I must be able to kill and eat everything regardless. And like you said, this isn't even a moratorium. All, if this goes into law, the next day, a skiff with two guys in it can go out, catch a couple fish in the grass, have a good time, and then take pluck two off the channel edge in a small school and take them home for dinner if they wanted to. For their family. That's still an option. And it's reasonable. And it's thoughtful. Tony, I apologize if you said this and it didn't register with me, but I'm going to bring it up again in case you didn't. We heard a call for the chairman from Guide Ethics. Hey, I it might be legal to go home, to run a trip, to go home, to get another crew off the dock, go out and keep your limit again. But a call for ethics from them. To recognize how they're using the resource and to recognize its value. I have never heard that in another meeting. I mean, this really was profound. You know, it's funny. This almost feels like a sloppy podcast for us. And I think it's because we're not used to this. Like, I don't know what to say when things actually go well.
Because my first text 2 minutes into the hearing was the multiverse has shifted us into another timeline. And I like it. In all my years of doing this, I've never seen a hearing go this well on an issue to restrict via size and creel limits. And I mean, this may sound crazy, but for us to see elected officials actually listen and respect the people who are giving testimony and then be supportive of that testimony and actually treat our guides and advocates like they are the experts that frankly they are. I've never seen that in my life. And I cannot thank South Carolina DNR, that committee, the chair of the committee, Senator Campson, and let me tell you, all the other members of the committee. There was not, you know, a couple of people in there that were looking to, you know, throw a wrench in the spokes. They were all thoughtful, professional, and I don't have no idea. Zero. I mean, we care about fish and that's it. I don't know what their voting records are on anything else. We are talking specifically about this. And I'll tell you something else. This is something that's going to take me a little while to wrap my head around, but I'm just going to be honest. South Carolina is a red state. It's a dominant red state, and conservation just came out of there like you open the barn doors and slap the horse on the ass. And this is, to me, proof positive what we have preached from the first day, is that fisheries conservation can bring people together. It doesn't have to be a partisan mudslinging competition. I mean, our association is a perfect example of this. We have people on every end of the political spectrum, and we agree on how to treat fish and how to manage them. And I think when it turns into partisan BS, that's when you know it's almost hopeless. And what you saw from a very, very red state is the absolute polar opposite of what we're seeing right now from a couple of very, very blue states. So I just, if this is a lesson to anyone listening, you know, fisheries conservation is not a partisan issue, and we have to convince legislators, no matter what side of the aisle that they're on, of why this is important. We have science on our side. We have the economic impact on our side. We have all of it on our side. And if people don't think it can happen, click on this link. I couldn't be more proud of our people. I couldn't be more proud of the incredible breadth of knowledge that this committee has. and the leadership of Senator Campson and the leadership of South Carolina DNR. And it just goes to show you, it does not matter what letter you have after your name. The only thing that matters is that you take your oath of office seriously and you take your job seriously with South Carolina DNR. You listen to your constituents and you follow the science. Those are the things that mattered. And I would rate each one of those a 10 out of 10. And I cannot even express in words how great it feels for something to actually go the way it should go. I really don't know how to put it.
We already have four messages saying, "Oh my God, I can't believe this happened. Holy crap, Louisiana, take notes." people are watching from afar. And one of the cool parts about the shift of why groups like us exist and the shifting culture around fisheries, Tony, and water management and just policy in general when it comes to natural resources, people are watching. And this whole Bob knew Jim, Jim made a donation, Bob wants a new office at his whatever, and these two people work out a deal and it's done before it even happens. It's in a meeting Tuesday at 5 p.m. or Wednesday today at 10 a.m. There's not a single person in the crowd because no one knew about it, and it was a done deal and it happened in the shadows. Those days are done. And people are watching this saying, "I want to see what happens from South Carolina in Louisiana at 9 a.m. for them on a Wednesday." This is the new environment for these operations and for these functions, and it's incredibly powerful. And I don't even want to get into the malicious stuff that happens in these political realms, because they didn't happen today and it's so incredibly profound. But in a setting where things can get malicious, that's how the greatest disinfectant is sunlight. Right? So how is this going to happen? Well, everyone's watching, and Senator XYZ, you can try to pull that little game, but people are watching with connections and power and voices and places that you can't even imagine. This is no longer in the auditorium on a Wednesday in a town no one's ever heard of. And so seeing these messages coming in from around the country already, so incredible. Again, this is probably one of the least fluid podcasts I've ever contributed to. And because I don't really know what to say, because it went well. So a 20-minute podcast for ASGA always goes 28 minutes and 45 seconds, but I'm going to tell Tony to call it. Big check out the brands who supported. Our letter will be in this, our summary blog. We'll put the podcast in there. We'll put a link to the full hearing. You have all the resources to mentally download what the heck happened today. We will keep bird dogging this. This is not done. Nothing is done until it is, and then you defend things once they are. So
yeah, Cody, let me give that rundown real, super but quick.
Take us to the finish line.
Yeah, so this passed the committee in the Senate. This will go to the full Senate. If it passes there, it'll go to the full House. If it passes there, it goes to the governor. And these regulations will be in place midsummer. We will be there every step of the way supporting this committee, Senator Campson and South Carolina DNR and all their science. So that's one thing. Next thing is, I got to tip my cap to Senator Campson. Like I have never been more impressed, with an elected official who was the chairman of an incredibly important committee that actually knows about the issue. I mean, one of my texts to our group text said, "How do we clone this? Call Elon Musk. How do we clone this guy?" You have our absolute respect. South Carolina DNR has our absolute respect. Our guides who woke up at the crack of dawn, drove all the way from the coast to the middle of the state in Columbia, South Carolina this morning. You have our ultimate respect. And we just took a huge step forward in making sure everyone's kids and grandkids can go to the low country, get some of the best food in the country, have one of the best redfish experiences of the country, book our guides, have one of the best guided trip experiences in the country. And like, there's very rare, it's so rare that one decision could turn everything around for the better. And folks, it happened today. So I'm just telling you right now, if you're planning your trips a year or two from now, make sure Charleston, Georgetown, any of those beautiful places on the South Carolina coast are on your short list, because this fishery is going to come roaring back, and it's going to be the place to go in the next couple of years. And Senator Campson and members of this committee and South Carolina DNR and our guides and our outreach is going to be where it started. Super proud of everyone. I couldn't ask for a better bunch of people. And you know, y'all, if you get up every day, you show up, you do the right thing, you put yourself in a position to actually have a day like today. And let me tell you something, it matters a lot. It refills our gas tank. It makes people believe in the process. It is so much more profound than just good regulations and redfish coming back. Like, good people win too. And that's what happened today.